You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
We're live, pal.
Hey, we're live, pal. And I am very excited to... Casey, before we start introductions, do you know what that reference is from?
I think it's some fake wrestling stuff.
Some fake wrestling stuff. But I am excited to have to introduce our guest because I've been saying we're live, pal, since the day I started... took over the A-Side live chat. I remember I was saying we're live, pal, during the MMA Hour days. Alex, I assume you don't know what that reference is from, correct? So no, I am excited to have someone that knows that reference. When I took over the A-Side live chat, we were going to have multiple journalists. I made a list of journalists in general that I would like to have on at some point. I've gone through most of them. There's still a few left, but I'm excited to knock off another one today. Sean Ross Sapp of the Fightful Editor is joining us for a special Friday edition of the A-Side. I am very ecstatic to have him on. So, Sean, I am excited to have another one, a fellow wrestling fan that knows that reference.
Should we smarten them up? Should we tell them? Or should they have to figure it out on their own?
I think the honor is yours, sir, because I'm sure a lot of people that are tuning into this follow your work on the professional wrestling journalist scene. So,
sure.
You can enlighten the audiences.
Sure, obviously I'm a little deeper into pro wrestling coverage, but it's one of those things that you really have to see to understand, and you got to have the context of knowing who Psycho Sid is. He is a guy who literally blamed missing a booking in Cleveland on the Donald Trump travel ban. He acted like he couldn't fly two states away because of that. He is known for quitting wrestling like every summer so he could go play softball. But he was doing an interview with Jim Ross on TV.
Yeah. It was a promo. It wasn't even an interview.
It was a promo. And he messed it up. And he's like, oh, let's do that over. And Jim Ross goes, we're live, pal. And this is also the guy that said, I'm twice the man that you are with half the brains that you have. And he obviously mixed that up a little bit.
Sure.
Or did he?
I like to give him the benefit of the doubt. But for those of you wondering, like, why would he not know we're live? That was the early days of when Raw, WWE went from taped to, quote, raw footage, live footage. So what he thought was a taped promo was live on the air. So he was reciting lines, messed up, and asked to restart out of character. So for all of you who are wondering why I keep saying we're live, pal, at the beginning, there you go. But of course, joining us this week is my normal co-host, Alex Savis, and the producer, Casey Lydon. How are you guys on this special Friday?
Can't complain. They're trimming palm trees outside my window, which is something I never thought I would say. So, all's good.
I'm a little jealous about that. A little jealous about that.
Hey, I used to live in Chicago, so I'm a Midwesterner at heart.
Yeah. City of Soup.
Just moved out to City of Soup.
There you go.
Anyway, we'll explain that Casey, reference one day.
Casey, what's life like in your part of the world?
Stupid.
Yeah, okay.
Typical. I'm here.
Anyway.
Got a clean shirt on, pants. I'm good.
There you go. I'm sure you guys are wondering why we're doing a Friday edition. Normally, I'm usually in Las Vegas for the fight cards, but I didn't go this week. Hopefully, I can go next week. So we decided to make it up to you guys and do a special Friday edition. Sean was, less than 24 hours notice. I was scrambling to find a guest. I was like, you know what? Sean is a professional. He's done a million interviews. Maybe he'll want to do it. And lo and behold, not only did he want to do it, I gave him a very broad window of whenever the weigh-ins were over. And he goes, I'll be ready whenever. So a true professional. And the professional wrestling world is still batting 1,000 on showing up on time. We've had gentlemen Jack Gallagher and Big E Langston and Brody Lee of AEW fame all show up on time. So professional wrestling world is still batting 1,000.
I just want to say I'm way better. I'm more charismatic than Big E. I'm a better wrestler in the ring. I know more about MMA. So you're definitely getting a step up here.
Well, Jack Gallagher has also had a lot of MMA actual experience.
Well, so you know what? I placed third in a regional submission wrestling tournament. So, sorry, Jack. I don't care about your wrestling? Amateur MMA fights.
Was it catch wrestling?
Yeah, it was.
Oh, Casey. Well, I'm sure Casey's going to want to talk about that at some point. That is his bread and butter right there.
My trainers are Billy Robinson protégés. Yeah.
I trained with Eric Paulson.
Nice.
Well, I'm sure.
I did geek out this week on WWE TV when Timothy Thatcher.
I just saw that today. I was so excited. Right?
Right? When he called it a double wrist lock instead of a
Kimura. I was about to say double wrist lock too.
Because the one time I got to go train with Billy Robinson, he's like, you only call it a Kimura if Kimura is doing it. And I was like, all right, cool.
That's hilarious.
Anyway.
And I've seen Timothy Thatcher wrestle probably, I don't know, at least I feel like a dozen times for PWG, but I've never actually heard his voice. It was kind of threw me off.
I think that's the first time I've ever heard his voice, and I've been covering his work for years.
Yeah, I realize I've never, other than him just yelling, I've never actually heard him talk. So that's just, I was like, whoa, all right.
Moral of the story is, Alex, you're going to have to come to Bola. Now that you live in Los Angeles, you're going to have to come at least one day. You're going to have to come. All of the MMA fighting crew goes that lives on the West Coast. Even some of the old MMA crew goes, and it's one night. And you can roll your eyes the entire time. We should experience it at least
three
once.
Nights.
I don't even know what nights. It is.
I promise, even if you think pro wrestling is ridiculous, you're probably going to enjoy at least one night of
Bola. Well, everything that, whenever you go to anything live, it's way more fun, right? You can't have a good time.
This is on another level. Like, even if you hate live professional wrestling, Bola is basically like you're going to a punk show that's wrestling because the fans are so involved in everything. It is a true blast. But anyway.
Sean, you never got to go to Reseda?
Never. My brother lived there, and I was always going to use that as an excuse to go visit him. Like, I just happened to be in town like the last week of August. I'm going to go see my brother and go to Bola, but it never happened.
Yeah, I'm still a little heartbroken. Like, that place was such a shithole, but God, I loved it.
The only place in the world I've ever passed out from dehydration was the Reseda venue because it was so hot and there was so little like access to water or you'd lose your seat that I was like, I'm just gonna pass out rather than go get water right now. So I did, and I woke up in time for some weird wrestling. But anyway, we can talk about wrestling for hours at this point. Alex is probably like, let's get to this.
Yeah, I gotta head out.
But this is, of course, the A-Side Live Chat. The UFC on ESPN 11 weigh-ins just wrapped up. I'm sure we have a lot to talk about. I'm sure Sean is excited to get a little break from talking wrestling. Talk some fist fighting inside of an octagon. So the drill. You can ask a question in the YouTube comments. Casey's monitoring them. You can go on Twitter or the site. You can ask whatever you want about our wrestling, MMA, non-wrestling MMA stuff, and we'll talk about it. So, Casey, without further ado, first question. Do we just become best friends, Sean and Casey? Yeah, probably. Very much so.
I mean, I'm not as deep into catch wrestling as I should be, but that is my foundation of training, and that's how I learned pro wrestling. Like, before I did pro wrestling matches, I was trained in catch-as-catch-can wrestling because my trainers were like, you need to learn how to work without ropes, without turnbuckles, without anything, in case you don't have them one day. And catch wrestling was the foundation of that. I think it's great.
Yes.
Josh Barnett would be proud.
All right. Let me find some questions. Oh, we got a shout out to
Crystal Crew Jessica. Long time commenter. I will tell you a tale about Brian Kelleher and crystals later on, Sean. It'll warm your day. It will warm your day. Our listeners know that story too well, so I'll save it for the end.
Actually, before we start, is there anything that our fans, viewers need to know about the weigh-ins that happened today? Anything special that happened?
I believe Frank Camacho was the only one that missed weight. He weighed in right at the end. He had missed weight before, and our own AK Lee was monitoring that situation. Courtney Casey came in under, like, I think she was like 123 and a half. I'm going to start with Alex on this one. She came in under, but needed the hoop and had her hands in the air, unlike Jessica I last week. But then there was some people were like on Twitter were like, did she like balance on one foot or did she kind of take pressure off to kind of trick the scale? Because who really needs a hoop if you know you're going to come in like 123 and a half or 124 and a half? So Alex, I'll start with you. What'd you make of Courtney Casey coming in under but also needing the hoop?
It's iffy. I mean, why even grab the hoop in the first place? She could have weighed in without it. And if she was close, then we grabbed the hoop. So obviously there was some sort of discrepancy there. But I kind of feel like I want to take an afternoon, get a hoop, get a scale, and figure out all these tricks. Like, if you stand on one foot, that's not helping. You know, the gravitational pull is still the same. Sure. You're still going to weigh the same on one foot. So I got to figure this out. I want to try to lean in every which way. But I feel like people know something that the rest of us don't know. Something iffy here. And I hope somebody had a better angle maybe of the weigh-in show than I was watching.
It sounds like a good video project for the LA crew to figure out weigh-in trickery.
Because also Buster's MMA edition. I'm down for that.
There you go. Is Bellator coming back to from Phil Acoustic Chaos? I heard in the summer. I have not heard an official date. I know they still want their featherweight Grand Prix show. Sean, I'll start with you. Obviously, none of us know an exact date when Bellator is coming back, but are you looking forward to the return of Bellator to have some non-UFC fights to talk about?
I am, although it will be weird to see them not on immediately after Cops, because I felt like I was just as likely to see an MMA prospect on Cops as I was the prelims of a Bellator show. I mean, it's Bellator. They're gonna run a bunch of shows. They're gonna find a Pitbull brother to main event every single one of them, and I'll watch them. I don't know if I'm excited, so to speak. I thought that when they really stepped up their roster and signed a lot of people, we would have more significant cards, and we wouldn't have some of these really thin shows that they had that ran. I found myself, I couldn't skip them, but I would have skipped like 40% of their shows ahead of all this. And they have the talent roster to make it happen. But if it's business as usual, I probably won't be as excited, but I'm excited to see any live combat sports or any live sports at this point. So I'll be there watching.
I am very excited to, for them to continue their featherweight Grand Prix. I was super excited. I like the what did you call it? The presentation of like the drawing, the seating,
the game show thing.
That I thought that was amazing. Yes. That is one of the best things Bellator has ever done. I really, our own Guillerme, and then at, before Pizzi moved on to other things, put together this piece where Pedro Carvalho interviewed Patricio Pitbull, because of course Pedro Carvalho is Portuguese but trains at SBG, and Patricio Pitbull is Brazilian, so they interviewed each other, and the trash talk on display was truly incredible. It was basically like Pedro Carvalho was like, first question, Patricio, why do you think you're gonna beat me, and who even like why did those thoughts go through your head? And Patricio Pitbull also goes, counterpoint, who even are you? Like, that's the kind of trash talking that was on display. So I am beyond excited. I think the break benefited what's his name? AJ McKee, who had the knee injury and almost had to pull out. I think the pause in action will give him benefit, because I'm very excited to see him fight Darren Caldwell, who has a little bad blood between them. Alex, what are your thoughts on Bellator coming back? I know Chris Cyborg wants to fight again. I think we talked a lot about the featherweight division last week, a women's featherweight division. We all agree that the Bellator has the biggest one. So how excited are you for Bellator to pick up?
Yeah, I mean, even speaking just like on the Grand Prix, I mean, we all have fans that are trying to get, or friends that are trying to become, you know, MMA fans, and sometimes it can be really hard to follow. And I almost think that like pointing people in the direction of like a Bellator Grand Prix to watch is easier, because it's way easier to follow who's fighting who, what are the matchups, logically, why are these people fighting each other? Have you ever tried to explain to your friends like how UFC matchups occur? It can't be done. So I think, you know, I think Bellator should capitalize on that, you know, corner of the market, maybe, of sort of like more casual fans.
I know people are really, I personally want to see Cyborg fight Kaz Ngannou so badly. Whether that happens right out of the gate is one thing. I know the UFC is probably missing Kaz Ngannou right now, but yeah, I'm excited for a lot of, I know Scott Coker is a big proponent for women's MMA, so I'm excited
Is Bellator planning to have their events in California?
That is an excellent question. I don't honestly know.
Yeah, because I know CSAC has been talking about, you know, eventually they will have to start going again. And yeah. I'm most interested in Bellator coming back, because I want to see what their version of the no audience show would look like. You know, now,
yeah, because it's not like they have an Apex.
Yeah, so I'm assuming since they're, you know, associated with Paramount, there's all these sound stages all over L.A., that boom, there, you just have it on a sound stage. Boom. You have the light set up, and this is a chance for Bellator to actually kind of reinvent their live show. No, because I don't think we're gonna have live audiences for a while. I think I'm gonna be optimistic and say another year. You know,
so they're gonna have roughly the same paid attendance as usual.
Ooh, Aaron.
I'm curious.
I don't want to go there, but yeah, you know.
I'm curious if this affects their plans with the European series. I know that Bellator was holding a lot of cards in Dublin and London and Manchester. Like they were supposed to have that Dublin, that London card with like they really on the James Gallagher train, the Michael Venom Page train. There's the Pedro Carvalho train trains at SBG Ireland. So if there's a travel ban still for a while, there's going to be a lot of European fighters in Bellator that aren't going to be able to fight soon. So will they have? And of course, Cage Warriors has that partnership or like handshake partnership with the UFC. What's going to happen if the Bellator is sitting on all these European fighters that can't get to America? Thank you for the question, Phil, by the way. I have not thought about Bellator in a while. I've been on the UFC Same. Train. So.
Yeah. Okay, next question. Oh, I lost the question. Where'd it go? Boom. This is a simple one.
Ollie, Emmett versus Burgos predictions. Alex, I'll start with you again. Outside of the main event, I think this is the fight I am most looking forward to, especially on the main card. This fight, absolutely. Someone's going to sleep in this one, I think, but I've said that a million times, and I've been wrong almost every single time. So, Alex, what are your thoughts on Emmett versus Burgos?
Is Emmett the one who claims that he's like kind of a – he's always going for the finish? Is that – he was the one who said that, right?
Yeah, he's the one that said that whether it's the first punch or the last punch, he can knock you out.
Yeah, no, but he specifically said it yesterday during media day, and sometimes we're doing so much that I forget who says what. Yeah, I think I'm going to go with Burgos then because I don't appreciate that kind of candor.
Ooh. Yeah, Sean, your thoughts on Emmett Burgos?
I'm rocking with Burgos. I mean, Qatar has had some trouble against top level talent like Moicano and Zabit in the past. I don't know if Burgos is there, but those are the two that have presented Qatar with the most problems. But then again, you look at where they were. Emmett rather, got a little mixed up there. I look at Burgos and I'm like, man, I think he's emerging and he's going to break through in this division. And this is a really good litmus test for him, especially with Emmett coming off the Mirsad Bektik win that looked so good and the Michael Johnson win that looked so good. And this is a guy that I didn't necessarily see this type of performance out of in his early UFC fights. I remember when he came in a few years ago, he wasn't having the most exciting fights, and he's really stepped up in that regard over the past year or so. But I think Burgos is going to overwhelm him.
Casey, your thoughts?
I think it's going to be a very competitive fight, but I just think Burgos is an overall a better mixed martial arts fighter. Yes. Obviously, Emmett's got that, you know, knock you out the first punch of the fight, knock you out the last punch of the fight. You know, he's got that threat. But if they fight 10 times, you know, I say Burgos wins 7. So obviously, Emmett's got a chance, but going for Burgos.
Do you guys remember that fight against Michael Johnson?
The Emmett fight?
Yeah. There's about one highlight in that entire fight.
Well, yeah, Emmett was, and it was the punch. Emmett lost the first two rounds, right? And
he lost like the first 2.5 rounds before he
wasn't dominated, but it just clearly looked like Johnson was the better fighter.
It was just 2-10-9. Yeah. Michael Johnson was a step ahead, and Emmett turned his lights out, hit the off button. Like Michael Johnson did the Michael Bisping, like arms stiff at his side, toes curled up in the air. Emmett also did the same thing to Ricardo Lamas. Was that on?
Michael Johnson did a Michael Johnson fight. You know, looked like a world beater, an A-level fighter until he wasn't, and he lost. That's just a very classic Michael Johnson fight.
And then the Jeremy Stephens fight with Josh Emmett. That's, I think there was a headbutt or something in there, so Emmett like broke his face, and then he took a year off to recover. Next week, Mara Romero Barella welcomes Miranda Maverick to the UFC. For those that don't know who Miranda is, what kind of fighter is she? Casey, anything you want to tell us about either of these fighters?
Mara Romero Barella. It's a lot of syllables. we've seen her fight in the UFC. But Miranda Maverick is a very high-level prospect, and I'm super excited the UFC signed her. And I think this is a great matchup. It's just a good matchup. The short notice thing is kind of scary, so because Miranda does have issues making 25 with a full camp, so I'm hoping this was just announced late rather than truly.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, sometimes we hear fights a couple weeks after they're actually signed for, but I'm very excited for Miranda Maverick. She's super good. But I'm more interested in why the UFC will never sign Vanessa Porto, but the actual Invicta flyweight champ. That's another subject, but we're talking about Miranda right now. Excited about Miranda Babic. Just I think she's like sub 20. I think she's like 22 or 20.
She's super young.
Yeah, super young. I think she's
for those of you who don't remember, like Alex, when we were in Houston, I think was it when we were in Houston, Casey, we were watching an Invicta card when we were working.
Yeah, I remember.
And like it just put on the TV. Miranda is the fighter that beat Pearl in the main event. So she's obviously as being world class fighters. Her opponent, though, I think just lost on one of the Jacksonville cards, and it wasn't close at all. Was that that was the Courtney Casey tapped her, right?
Yeah.
Barella? Yeah. She has a lot of people know her from her actions outside of the octagon. I think she almost had she's a 27-year ban or something crazy like that and overseas for like something to do with cocaine and a whole lot of drugs. I don't know the exact details or laws from overseas. So if you Google her name, I bet all of the top stories are like MMA fighter busted with an absurd amount of drugs, banned for life from competing in her home country. So
I thought she was going to be a lot better than she ended up being too. When she came in and she beat Kalindra Faria like really quick.
Yeah,
I was like, all right, that was pretty impressive. And eventually you're going to run into Caitlin Chookagian in that division. She fights like everybody, but unfortunately for her, she ran into her way too early. And I don't know that she ever really recovered. Cause if she loses next week, that might be it for her. That'd be like, I think four in a row.
It'll be 4 in a row and she'll drop to 12-9 with 2 no contest. And her 4 losses are Caitlin Chookagian, Lauren Murphy, Montana De La Rosa, and Courtney Casey. She's losing to good fighters, but you can't lose 4 in a row and stick around in the UFC.
Yeah, and you look at Miranda Maverick's last year, if you include, I think it was Phoenix series, she's won like 5 fights in the last year, and Barella's lost, I think, 3? That's definitely a different trajectory and momentum. Yeah. They're going
dating back about a year ago, Barella's 1-3. She's lost to Casey, De La Rosa, and Murphy, and then beating Talia Santos. Courtney Casey was by submission, by the way, and Lauren Murphy was TKO, elbows and knees. So she's getting finished too.
But great matchmaking and great signing by the UFC on this one. So very excited. Next question.
How old? I'm trying to find out how old Miranda Maverick is.
22.
My goodness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My goodness.
Someone's asking if Esther gets heartburn.
Why?
I don't know.
I don't understand that.
There's weird subplots going on in the YouTube chat right now. I can't quite catch up on. Here we go.
What's going on with Zabit Yair? Is that officially it? From Daniel O'Farrell. So the reports are I can't even count how many times these two have been linked together. Yair Rodriguez and Zabit Magomedsharipov are supposed to fight. I think they were originally going to fight on that Dallas card. That was, I can't remember the exact, was it 228? That was Woodley Till. And then Yair fell out, and then Zabit ended up getting that Sovalov stretch on his replacement. They were linked together a few more times and never worked out. I think this is the fight I've been most asking for outside of Ortega, Korean Zombie, but we don't have to get into that again. Last I heard, it's not official, but it was offered. So, Sean, I'll start with you. Thoughts on a possible matchup between Zabit Magomedsharipov and Yair Rodriguez?
I love it. I think that Zabit would win, but I do love it. Personally, I would rather Zabit be competing for the featherweight title just because I'm not keen on title shots off of losses. As good as Max Holloway was as champion, I don't want to say that I didn't think the fight was close, but I thought he decisively got beaten in his first fight. And I thought that Volkanovski against Zabit would have been a fight with a little bit more merit. And that, I don't know why I assume that UFC would care about that type of thing. I mean, when I have to reference UFC, like WWE does that all the time, where somebody will lose 2 or 3 straight matches and get a title shot. I can no longer say, well, in real fighting, you have to win to get title shots. That's not a thing that I can say anymore because it's not true. So I'm excited for the fight. I would rather have Zabit in that spot, and I wouldn't mind Max Holloway fighting Yair Rodriguez. Like that I wouldn't have minded swapping those.
You would have given Zabit the title shot over like a Korean Zombie?
I'm not going to complain about any fight that Korean Zombie's in ever at this point. And I can't doubt him anymore because I did coming off of his extended layoff. And even after that comeback, I was like, okay, well, maybe there was an element of good fortune in that. I can no longer project or predict what Korean Zombie is going to do.
Alex, your thoughts on Yair and Zabit? And do you agree with Sean that you would like Zabit deserves a title shot rather than Max Holloway?
Not yet, but I don't think he's far away. But I do agree with Sean that Zabit gets this done very easily.
Easily?
Yeah. Wow. The guy's a freaking savage. Like, honestly, easily. First round submission. Put it in the books.
Crazy talk.
I don't think that's crazy talk.
I don't think it's crazy.
No.
Yeah, so Zabit just finishing Yair in the first round. Easy submission.
We'll see, Casey.
Well, I'm looking at the rankings right now. Volkanovski is obviously champion. And then the top five in order is Max Holloway, Brian Ortega, Zabit, Korean Zombie, and Yair. Selfishly, I don't want Korean Zombie or Brian Ortega to fight anyone else but each other. Which means Holloway's fighting Volkanovski, so Zabit and Yair makes sense. They're both super tall, lanky, long fighters with very exciting styles. They've called each other out a million times, so yeah, if you're looking at the rankings, Zabit would be next up because Max has already lost to Volkanovski. Brian Ortega was booked up, so Sean's not wrong. Zabit would be next man up.
Do not use these rankings. These rankings aren't real.
I know. I was about to say, Casey, but the rule in MMA is you can't use logic. Yeah. Don't use your brain.
And Jose's not really going off the rankings.
Yeah, Alex Savas uses that rule all the time with her crazy.
Jose's
prediction.
Going off the fact that he doesn't want Ortega to fight anyone else, so that's what he's going off of.
I don't want
people out of the running.
For those of you, Sean, I'm sure you're not aware, but I've been asking for Brian Ortega and Korean Zombie since about 2015.
I would love that.
I found out that Korean Zombie and Brian Ortega, the first fight, fell out when people started tweeting me, "Are you okay?" And I was like, "Why? What happened?" And then I looked square and I was like, "Oh, you guys are just all looking out for my well-being." So yeah, selfishly, Ortega, Korean Zombie needs to inject that into my body. But let's not forget Dan Ige and Calvin Kattar have a big featherweight main event coming up on Fight Island. That is a real random fight that I didn't know I wanted until they announced it. And then Frank Edgar's out of the rankings. Jeremy Stevens coming off a couple losses, so Burgos and Emmett have a big fight. That would be 8 versus 10. And then where's Arnold Allen? And, of course, Casey, we can't talk about the featherweight division without talking about Ryan Hall.
Yeah.
I still selfishly want Ryan Hall versus Jeremy Stevens so badly just for the clash of personalities.
I
want Ryan Hall against anybody, but he appears like as often as Bigfoot.
That's hilarious. That's so funny. But and then Bryce Mitchell is apparently not. He'll be in the rankings. He has to be in the rankings soon. So a lot of big featherweight fights coming outside of bantamweight. My God, featherweight is so exciting.
But that's why I hate this. I hate this title fight right now because it just once Kattar Ige happens, then there's going to be another person. Well, they should get a title shot. And so I think after the winner of Kattar Ige, Zabit, Yair, and Korean Zombie all have legitimate choices for the next title shot, and I'm just so mad that we're having Holloway Volkanovski because we already saw it and we're gonna see it again.
I agree.
Like we just don't need to see it now. Like this is a chance for the UFC to build a bigger star. Like Volkanovski won't become a bigger star if he beats Holloway again. To me,
and Holloway is effectively removed from the title picture if he loses. Like
I just don't. Get
I hate that.
I don't get it.
Sorry. It's like Joanna. She loses two in a row to Rose, and then she's not going to fight it for another title for a while. But now that Rose is no longer the champion, we got that epic fight, which to me is the second greatest title fight I've ever seen in my entire life between Wiley and Joanna. Interesting things. From Phil Acoustic Chaos again, has Jessica commented on Calvillo's claim that she missed weight by so much? I don't think she's made an official comment, not that I've seen.
I don't think it was based off of Cavillo's comments. I think it was just oopsie. Or, no, she was proud of it, right?
Yeah, she was proud of it.
If she had just peed,
then why didn't you go pee? I'm sorry.
Hey, I'm just saying. I'm just passing along knowledge. Don't get mad at me.
Yeah, I don't think she's like, she's taken like subtle shades. Like she's tweeted a photo of like it says shitty attitude with a big X through it. But like she's not posted like any official comment outside of like, I'm beyond thankful for fighting on a main event, this and that. So no official word yet.
I want to see those receipts because Cavill says she's got texts and I need to see them. So
do you all think that Jessica should move back up to 135 permanently? Because that did not work out well for her the last time. And she was understandably frustrated about the lack of a 125 division. Mm-hmm. But it's like she hasn't been making the weight. And she has not succeeded at 135, so it's a pretty rough situation for her, admittedly.
Alex, I'll ask you that. We've talked about this on Between the Links. Should the UFC force Jessica Eide to move up to 135?
At this point, yeah, probably. I don't think she's going to do it willingly. I remember somebody asked her if she ever planned on returning to bantamweight, and she said no because it just felt like she was wearing a 10-pound, you know, vest on her. She just felt slow and heavy. But if you're not going to prove yourself at 125, then you're going to kind of have to live with it.
Was she wearing that bulletproof vest?
Didn't help. Didn't cover her head.
Wow. Do you think she kept that? Do you think she still has that, like, hanging in her closet?
I really hope so. Because also, let's not forget, when she fought Valentina, she waited till like 10:58 to weigh in. She waited till the last possible second and barely needed the towel to make championship weight. But she made championship weight, so she can do it. She did it before and leading up to that fight. So maybe give her one more shot if she doesn't, to prove that she can make the weight. And if she doesn't, then make her move up.
Yeah.
I would like her to go to 35. And I just think, I mean, Not even talking to her as a quality as a fighter, but she draws attention, you know. So we're talking about her, you know. The fans love talking. The fans know they love to hate her, you know. So I think I think she's fun to have around. I think she's fun at 35, and it's just different match. I think who would you match her up at 35 right now? Like what's
at 135? Let me pull up the roster.
I can't think of someone right now for some reason, but like I feel like there's some.
UFC rankings. Who? Talk amongst yourself, people.
You know, it would be interesting, Jessica I versus Nico Montano, because they both got flamed for missing weight. I mean, yeah. I feel like Nico just like went off the grid after that.
Nico is fighting Julia Vila.
Yeah,
finally, she's back.
Freaking
so,
rules.
So maybe the winner of that face Jessica I at 35. That sounds, you know.
I think UFC would probably put her in one of those somebody has to win fights that they like to do. Where
the answer is to Jarre Eubanks because they have heat.
Oh yeah,
each other.
I knew there was some good matchup at 35. I just couldn't think of it. Yeah, Eubanks sounds right.
So Jarre's sitting at 14, and they have some heat and bad blood back and forth. So that there's your fight right there.
All right.
Because Jessica I has what we like to call X-Pac heat.
Yeah.
Professional wrestling. Yeah. Like, it's not like Colby Covington people hate because he's a character and that's just, they hate his gimmick. They just do not like Jessica I. I think it's a completely different style of dislike. Yeah. From Daniel O'Farrell in the YouTube comments, you guys giving Dan Hooker much of a chance against Dustin Poirier this week? Yes. Like, I don't know if I'm picking him to win, but I'm not overlooking Dan Hooker at all in the year 2020. Sean, I'll start with you. Thoughts on Dan Hooker, or doesn't Poirier beat Dan Hooker? Poirier gets top billing. He is higher ranked and fought for the and former interim champ.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the track record of the people that Dan Hooker has beaten, and he's beaten a lot of people with significantly different skill sets. He's beaten really well-rounded people. He's beaten excellent strikers. He's also fallen to some excellent strikers as well, and he's run into some trouble with that. And people that pressure him really heavily, Edson Barboza, Jason Knight, I think he lost to Yair as well. If Dustin Poirier pressures him, I think that Dustin Poirier probably wins this fight, but I don't put it past Dan Hooker to throw one shot and knock him out. I mean, we've seen that possibility with some really tough guys like Jim Miller and Ross Pearson even. Like, he can finish really, really tough guys.
Alex, thoughts on Poirier v. Hooker? Rounds.
I'd like to point out Justin Gaethje's tweet when we posted an interview Damon did with Dan Hooker, because he was confident he could finish Poirier because he didn't think that he had the chin that Paul Felder did. And Gaethje says that this dude's getting murked. So I don't know. I got to refer to the experts here. You know, maybe Hooker doesn't stand as big of a chance as he thinks he does. At least not in a finish for Poirier. Maybe by decision, but I don't know if he's going to finish him.
I completely forgot Dan Hooker fought Yair Rodriguez. That fight just does not even. I know that fight happened now, but I had no recollection of it until you just said that.
It's the beauty of the lightweight division. Like, so many of these people catch each other on their way up, and
that was at featherweight when Dan Hooker was still cutting.
God, it was, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, because then he lost to Jason Knight at featherweight, and then bumped up to lightweight, and went on this tear, and then got put through the ringer against Edson Barboza. But that's been his only loss lately. Has a KO win over Gilbert Burns, who's now fighting Usman for a championship. So, my goodness,
how much weight do you really put in Hooker at featherweight? I mean, I don't really put too much. I kind of think of that as another lifetime. I just think
it's like Anthony Smith. It's like Anthony Smith, Thiago Santos, and middleweight. Yeah. Like, they're just completely different people. Like Jessica Ai at bantamweight was probably a different fighter than at flyweight. My goodness, I forgot that fight happened. I'm excited now. I forgot that fight. But I don't know who's going to win. I favor Poirier. I think he has more paths to victory. But Hooker is a super tall, long, rangy lightweight whose camp, like, let's not forget, his camp is on fire with Volkanovski and Stylebender and that whole crew down there. But I think something Casey said when we were previewing Blades and Volkov when I'm thinking of this fight, I never really take into account that he's traveling literally from the opposite side of the world during a pandemic to be here for just 2-3 days. So if you take into account all that travel, I favor Poirier even more. But Casey, are you in agreement?
Yeah, Poirier is obviously the smart pick. But, you know, these are guys who hit hard and Dan's tall, and I could see Dustin, you know, catching a knee, you know, or something like that. But I think, you know, like I like to say, you know, they fight 10 times. I think Dustin wins a majority of the fights. But, you know. But the idea of saying, does Hooker have a chance? Oh, hell yeah, he's got a chance. So, yeah.
This is just a high-level violent martial arts fight. Like, Like, I always say I don't care if there's no crowd. There is no crowd. I just want to watch this fight. From Joseph Boza, Cynthia is now number 2 at women's flyweight. What do you do with Cynthia? We've talked about this a little bit before, but Alex, who do you want to see Cynthia Calvillo fight next?
I think Chookagian makes the most sense right now. And then probably the winner. Well, no, because you got to get JoJo in there too. Okay, so JoJo versus Shevchenko obviously has to happen. Mm-hmm. Chookagian, Cavillo. And then maybe we give Cavillo whoever loses the Shevchenko JoJo fight. And then that would be the number one contender.
So if JoJo wins, beats Valentina, which I don't think she will, but if she does, you'd have to assume they're going to rematch. Because Valentina is their biggest star of that division. I think she would deserve a rematch. Cynthia has a win over JoJo at strawweight. So I think JoJo being champion definitely would benefit Cynthia. Roxanne and Lauren are matched up. Jennifer Maia has a fight coming up. So Cynthia Catlin, 1-2. I mean, I know we literally just had this big conversation about rankings don't matter. But if you're 1-2 and the number one is calling out the number two, why not make that fight? But Sean, what are your thoughts on what the UFC should do with Cynthia Calvillo?
I think Chookagian would be a good idea. Had they not released Liz Carmouche, that would have been a perfect idea. I don't know why. I still don't know why she's gone. If they signed Vanessa Porto, that would be a good idea. Like, there are options for her all over the place. But as you said, if one wants to do it, do it. And also, like I said, you're running into Caitlin Chookagian at some point in that division, no matter who you are. Mm-hmm. So
that's a good point. Like, if they're going to fight eventually, why not fight now when they're both free? Jennifer Maia is fighting Vivian Araújo, which would be number 5 versus number 8. So there's another one right there if the UFC doesn't want Cynthia to possibly fall to Cat. Like, it's that similar thing where we talked about, like, all of a sudden she's out of the running. Like, Callan got dominated by the champion. All of a sudden she beats number 2 again. Like, what do you go from there? So if they don't want to give her number 1 yet, maybe the winner of Maia and Araújo, or the loser of Roxanne Modafari and Lauren Murphy, or maybe even the winner if people want to stay active. There's a lot of fun matchups at women's flyweight. Casey, your thoughts?
It's I always thought it was just really weird that Jessica Ai was ranked number 2. But she was. Yeah. I mean,
she was ranked 1.
Well,
she was ranked 1.
Well, yeah, with the champion, yeah, the whole thing.
Yeah.
No, she was the number 1 ranked flyweight last week when she main evented. Yeah. Yeah, she was.
It's very bizarre.
Very.
Yeah. I mean, if Cynthia is drawing numbers and no one's putting butts in seats anymore, but you know, eyes on the tube or whatever. But yeah, I mean, Cynthia, one more fight. I don't like the Chikagian fight, honestly. Because like, one of Chikagian wins, you know, I just don't. You know, then you're in that situation again. So probably
Chikagian fights are a lot better in theory than execution.
Yeah.
She's a great fighter. She's a great fighter that I do not enjoy watching fight.
Yeah.
Okay. I've been a big proponent of Molly McCann is ranked 15, but she has a big fight coming up. I think she has like a long win streak. She is if you ever get a chance to interview Molly, Sean, for anything, just even if you want to just talk about life, she's one of the best interviews in the game. If you want to talk to her about how she beat up a sex trafficker trying to abduct a woman from a subway.
Wow.
Molly McCann is your person. So I talked about this. We interviewed her on this show, and I saw more non-MMA news sites right off of that interview, just on the crazy stories Molly has, that people in our comment sections or even on Reddit or Twitter were like, I don't even like MMA, but I love Molly McCann now. So
yeah,
I think Molly could be a real big star in that division.
You know, I want
what's up?
You know, I want Cynthia to fight because I don't really believe that Jessica I was the number one ranked. I mean, even though I didn't rank her, that's not my ranking. I like Cynthia Cavillo versus Andrea Lee. Andrea Lee, who I think everyone thought beat Lauren Murphy whenever they fought a couple months ago. I think Cynthia Cavillo, Andrea Lee. So at some point, someone you have to fight. One of the fighters has to fight someone behind them, you know. And I think
that's what Callan did. She fought Antonina Shevchenko, who was like 14th, and Callan was like 2. And she's like, I gotta fight someone. Might as well. They want me to fight her. Let's do it.
Yeah,
I like it.
So that was a weird matchup for me. Didn't know how many people were giving Antonina much of a chance there.
Is Antonina is Antonina UFC level? I honestly don't know. I don't really know her previous fights, and actually the only fights I've really seen her are like that she's lost in the UFC from just grapplers. I mean, is she a good fighter? I just don't know.
In that division, probably UFC quality, but that's not a high bar until you get like to 10, 5. And that is UFC's own doing because they let people like Liz Carmouche go. They let her walk out the door. And as you mentioned, Vanessa Porto is right there. They could have her if they wanted her. They don't for whatever reason. So
yeah, Vanessa Porto seems to be in that kind of same area of the UFC like a Sarah Kaufman is. She's clearly a top fighter. The UFC just refuses to sign him. Don't know why. But
Antonina is a multiple-time gold medalist in Muay Thai tournaments and various other promotions. Her only losses in her career are to Roxanne Modafari and Callan Chookagian. So it's not like she's losing to people outside of the top five.
Yeah.
It's like people like Felicia Spencer's not a good fighter. I'm like, who did she lose to?
Saying Antonina was like not a good fighter. I just don't know very much about her other than that she's Valentina's sister. It's like
she's learning on the job.
Yeah,
like she's cutting
Valentina's Shogun. You know, just like good, but not the same.
They can all be the Burns brothers.
Yeah. But. We didn't get this question, but I want to ask you guys. Let's talk about the disrespect from the placing on the card of Roxanne Modafari versus Lauren Murphy. In our Between the Links show we did on Monday, we talked about this, and Aaron Bronsetter said, it doesn't matter where you're placed on the card. You know, it means the UFC put Roxy down there because they want people to tune in early. But I call total BS on that because for the virtual media day, if they were really trying to promote that fight, they would have brought him in. What, they're two top five flyweights, or top 10 at least. I think they're two top five flyweights. And they're fighting the second fight on a fight night, and they didn't even bring him for media day. So I just think I just don't like that.
And if you're just looking at it too, like, okay, so Courtney Casey and Robertson are fighting after them, and they're ranked way lower. Like, it doesn't logically make even any sense.
Sell this to me. So tell me why they're so low on the card, guys.
There's no, like, we've talked about this before. Unless you, like, the placement of the card, we've all watched a million fights in our career. We've all been like, that's a performance of the night bonus. That's a knockout of the night, submission of the night. I am on the train where your placement on your card directly affects whether you get a bonus or not. Unless you have a Polo Reyes, Dong Young Kim fight like a 199, and you just put on a fight for the ages in the first fight of the card, that there are anomalies. But the UFC tends to give bonuses to people higher up in the card because more people watch them. So there's no reason that should be the second fight on the card. But again, we saw, Perez and Formiga were like two top five men's flyweights, and they were buried on the prelims too. So I have absolutely no idea. But Sean, why do you think this is the second fight of the
night? I don't have an answer. I just know that every time Roxanne fights, I'm a little bit more amazed, because it would have been real easy for her to just quit and retire after The Ultimate Fighter. Like, and I expected that to happen. I thought that she would. I mean, it was a rough streak. Like, you could argue that she might not have been a fit on The Ultimate Fighter anyway because of how she had performed before that. But she went and she put in the work and reinvigorated herself and became a really good fighter. So it's like almost like that isn't recognized. And I when I see the placement here, I'm like, okay, I get it. Guida's a familiar name. Tisha Torres is a little bit more of a familiar name. Jim Miller is too, and Roosevelt Roberts is coming up. But I'm not convinced that Bilal Muhammad versus Lyman Good will be a better fight in the cage than Modafferi and Lauren Murphy will be. And I'm not taking anything away from either one of those guys. They're both really good fighters, especially Bilal. But I think that Roxanne Modafferi and Lauren should be higher up on the card. I just think that for some of those, UFC just draws them out of a hat.
I think they're wasting an opportunity, because I don't know Fightful's numbers looks like, but I've said this before. When Roxanne fought Macy Barber at UFC 246, outside of Donald Cerrone and Conor McGregor, Roxanne Modafferi did the best numbers in terms of like post-fight videos for us. Mm-hmm. And we all kind of accredited that to that she just ran through Macy Barber, and Macy Barber seemed to be on the cusp of being a big deal in that division.
She got the rub.
She got the rub, as you say in the wrestling business.
And they didn't capitalize on it at all. You get the rub, and they put you on a fight night on the second. Jeez, man.
I'm not going to try and make sense of this, but I agree. It is. I like how you brought up Tisha Torres and Brianna Van Buren. Tisha Torres is on that losing streak, but she's only lost to champions, former champions, or Marina Rodriguez, who a lot of people think will be a future title challenger. And Brianna Van Buren is so fun to watch. She won that Phoenix series in Invicta, and like she beat Kylan Curran. I love watching her fight. Her fight against was it Livia Souza? Was that a short notice fight? Was like a replacement? I can't quite remember.
Short notice for Brianna.
That's what I'm saying. So like, yeah. Liviana Hinata Souza had this big interview with our own Guillermo Cruz, where it's like a lot of like she talked about she's not like all other women. She's not promoting herself on social media. She just wants to go out there and just beat up people. And Brianna Van Buren just tore through her, and I was like, oh my god, I want to see her fight Cynthia
before. Yeah, that was the fight where Calvillo, I think, broke her toe or broke her foot or something, and she couldn't show up. So Van Buren stepped up.
Exactly. So I was really excited for that. But yeah, no, there's no reason Roxanne should be and Lauren Murphy should be so low on the card.
Yeah, I'm annoyed.
We can organize a letter writing campaign.
I'm all for it. Jackson Rounds. Why hasn't listen, Jackson? I've said this a million times. Champion gets top billing. If you use a last name, you both use last name. So Costa Izzy should be Izzy versus Paolo, or Adesanya versus Costa, or better yet, Stylebender versus the Eraser. I like that even better. But why has that not been announced? I assume it's money. Did you see Paolo Costa's tweets, any of you guys, yesterday?
$15 million!
Wait, catch me up on it.
He's like, I want 50. It was talking about the Ultimate Fighter, which I am off. If they want to bring the Ultimate Fighter back, and I want to lock Stylebender and Paulo Costa in a house together to coach, and then we get even more Captain Eric. We get Eugene and Captain Eric in the same tough house. Just two polar opposite personalities. I'm all for it. But Paulo was like, I want $15 million. I want a main event of pay-per-view, this and that. I think it was a lot of tongue-in-cheek, but I would imagine it's money, or they wanted to headline a pay-per-view, and the only I assume it had to be on Fight Island because Izzy's in Australia. The only pay-per-view on Fight Island right now has three title fights already, so maybe they're waiting for that, maybe September. So that's just an assumption, though. But I don't have a good reason for that. But instead of talking about why it's not booked, Sean, thoughts on Stylebender versus the Eraser?
Well, I think Adesanya would win that fight, but they're not getting half of Deontay Wilder money for it, that much I tell you. Dana White won't let that happen.
Guys, we're in a pandemic.
Wait. According to the tweet, it's not U.S. dollars. So it equals out to about $3 million U.S. dollars if the people on the Twitter thread are correct. So
He ain't going to give him one-tenth of Deontay Wilder money.
We're in a pandemic.
Dana White has to act like Rick from Pawn Stars every time somebody comes to the negotiating table. He's like, I can do $20 and some Bubblicious. I got a business to run here.
That's so funny.
Like you ask Dana anything about money, two things. We're in a pandemic, and who doesn't want more money?
Or he just doesn't answer the question. He'll just start talking about I asked Dan, I'm like, what do you do next with Sean O'Malley? He goes, man, don't so many fighters just want to fight on ESPN right now, guys? Isn't it great how awesome ESPN is? I'm just like, yeah, but what about O'Malley? And he goes, we're going to build a lot of stars with ESPN. I'm like, you didn't answer my question.
My favorite thing that he does is when he's trying to, he goes, guys, this isn't new. This has happened before. I'm like, is that a defense? I don't, doesn't sound like it.
One of my favorite things is when he did, I think it was about maybe last May, he did an interview with Megan Olivia, and you can tell he had been fed or she had been fed a question like, the media really comes at you hard, and then boom, he had him loaded, just ready to go. These dummies in the media, I've got some headlines right here. I was like, oh man.
I don't even try to make sense of anything that Dana White, anything that man says.
Unfortunately, I'm not on his radar, so I don't yell that.
Why are you guys trying to cancel fights?
Sorry.
Oh yeah, Sean, you're aware that we, the MMA media, canceled all of the fights at the beginning of the year, right?
That's the rumor. That's what I heard.
I called Mickey Mouse and like, hey Mickey, you know this Tachi place? Kill it.
Oh that man. Was me.
But what was even the question?
I don't know.
Izzy and Style. Cost it.
I don't know.
Thank you, Jackson Round. Hopefully that answered.
Hooker's overrated. JoJo lost to Cynthia. People just saying things.
Fighters lose and get better all the time, guys.
Yeah.
That's the game.
Life, my friend.
I just like the spelling of this.
What's next for Sean O'Malley? But he's
a contract dispute.
There you go.
And then a long period of inactivity as a result.
See,
Sean's not wrong. Sean is not wrong on Sean. we've seen this before where, like Casey and I have talked about this, when Israel Adesanya started asking about where the pay-per-view points went after he got thrust into a main event. He wasn't supposed to main event against Anderson Silva. It's just a matter of time before these up-and-coming Uber prospects start to figure out that this is a business and there's a lot of money left on the table that they could be making. Even John Jones himself said, don't let the UFC take advantage of your 20s. Get paid now. So as soon as Sean O'Malley was like, I just want to renegotiate my contract, I'm like, it's begun.
Yeah.
So it begins. But if in terms of who you would like to see him fight, Alex, any thoughts?
Oh, you're always jumping right, throw it right to me. I haven't even thought.
Your thought, Sean O'Malley should fight. Can anyone hear me?
I can hear you.
I said Sean. Who do you think Sean should fight?
Oh, Sean. Oh, it was on Sean.
Me. Yeah. Oh, gosh. Wouldn't hate like Arnold Allen. Wouldn't hate if this is at featherweight, right?
Was the Arnold Allen fight, was that bantamweight, right? Yeah, it's bantamweight.
It? O'Malley?
Yeah,
35.
Yeah.
Ah, man.
What about the Garbrandt fight? Is it too soon?
Or no.
Do we not want to knock those guys out? Is it? I mean,
yeah, it is at 135.
Dana White already came out and said not yet, so I'm not even counting that. I want to see him fight Dotson or Song Yadong.
I like Dotson.
O'Malley was supposed to fight Chito Vera once. Song Yadong just beat Chito Vera. So if he wants to take that O'Malley ticket, then they're 14-15. And then O'Malley's Dotson or 13, 14. Dotson seems to be one of those guys that, like, they fed him to Nathaniel Wood, and Dotson beat him. But Dotson's one of those guys that, if he's only lost to top five fighters too, like the Marlon Moraeses, the Demetrius Johnsons, the John Linekers of the world, where if you beat him, it's a big deal. So I really like O'Malley Dotson, honestly.
And seeing actually Dotson in the small cage, where he would look kind of normal size a little bit.
I did not even think about that.
Yeah. So the action is going, there's going to be increased action, and just the comical height difference. Let's just have fun of that.
If they wanted to give him somebody not ranked, Rob Font's there too. I mean, I know he's not having. I mean, he had a great fight against Ricky Simone in, I think
Rob Font's sitting at 11.
Is he at 11?
Yeah, he's at 11 right now.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Well, I mean, him and Cody Stamann at 10-11. I wanted that Cody Stamann Font fight because they have been linked together for so long.
Yeah, that's a fight.
But unfortunately, Stamann is probably dealing still with the fallout of the death of his brother right now, so he's not even thinking of a fight. He himself said, when someone was like, "Who do you want to fight next?" He goes, "Man, I got to go to a funeral first." And I was like, "Oh man, that is just the saddest. So Jimmy Verestein there, the Sun Sal's coming off that loss. So he's probably not going to fight anytime soon. So I think the answer is Dotson or Song for O'Malley. Those are the two fights that would make sense for me.
And a new contract. And
there you have it. After new
contract. Make me actually look at the UFC rankings.
Where's it?
Welcome to 2020. Rank better, apparently. From Fight Owl. Do you guys think Masvidal priced himself out? Perhaps the UFC will make an example out of him. So I like the phrasing of priced himself out because Colby Covington said this would happen. He did an interview with our own Damon Martin months ago, and he goes, Masvidal is going to price himself out, and that fight's not going to happen. And then I went to interview Usman at the Dominance Media Day, and I go, Colby says Masvidal is going to price himself out, and this fight won't happen. And Usman's like, oh, this fight's going to happen. And then guess what? The fight's not happening. Yeah. So Colby Covington, the Oracle, knew his former training partner would, quote, price himself out. He's already asking for a lot of money, or what he's worth, I should say. Not a lot. Dana White, will the UFC make an example out of him? They already did. They skipped over the title fight, so they already did. There's your answer.
There's a weird, like, seven-person waiting game that goes around at all times. It's like either Diaz brother, Conor McGregor, Masvidal, Habib. And then Usman is the guy that's just kind of stuck there saying, which one of these guys is going to show up and fight at 170 anytime soon? Because I got to fight one of them. And then it's Gilbert Burns.
And then Leon Edwards just happens to be the eighth fighter waiting in the seven-man line who very well should have been fighting for the title over Gilbert Burns. But he's said, I don't think he would have been ready, especially with the travel ban in London and all that stuff.
I just don't see Masvidal like it. I just don't see him backing down from this. If he's the kind of guy that I know that I think that he is, I think he might be done. Like, I don't know.
Done?
He doesn't seem to be somebody that wants to dictate his own terms, and he doesn't seem like he's going to let anybody push him around.
Like the Diaz brothers that take like 2-year layoffs if they're not getting what they want.
More power. Yeah. It's not like when they come back, people go, "Hey, who's Nate Diaz?" They take 2 years off. They take 2 years off, and they're still like, you know, they're still big stars. So I think good for Masvidal. I don't think he priced himself out. I think he just,
yeah.
I don't even like that term. All right.
I know we're going a little time, but
yeah. Someone asked real quick. No fighters. Let's do rapid fire. I'm just gonna throw questions out there. Here we go. This is a lot of yes, no questions.
Which fighter tested positive for COVID this weekend? I don't think a fighter did. I think Matt Frivola's coach did, or was in contact with someone who did.
Billy Q.
Billy Quarantillo, who fought. Who did he beat? That crazy man with the orange beard.
That's his name.
Crazy man with the orange beard. He tested positive. He had contact with Matt Frivola, so they pulled Matt Frivola out just to be safe.
Yeah. Other than that, unless tomorrow.
Lyman did test positive like a month or so ago. Lyman good.
Yeah.
Who comes back to fight first? Nate Diaz, Masvidal, Jones, or Cejudo? We've had this question a few times. So Sean, since you're new to the show, who fights first?
Ooh.
If you want to put those in order, who you think fights first to never?
First to never. I'm going to say Jones. Jones, Masvidal, Cejudo, and Nate Diaz.
You put the retired fighter before Nate Diaz?
Oh, without a doubt. Yeah. Henry Cejudo got his one taste of pro wrestling, and he was in there with a bunch of UFC legends and didn't get mentioned like at all. So I don't think it's going to be as fruitful outside of the UFC as he thinks.
Where do you think Cejudo comes back? He comes back, does the UFC do the 45 thing, or does he just come back straight whoever has the belt at 35? What do you think? What do you think, Sean?
I don't think that he's interested in fighting anybody that's a champion or deserves an actual title shot anymore. So he didn't want to fight Benavidez. He didn't want to fight Sterling. He didn't want to fight Jan. He didn't want to fight like anybody like that. He wanted to fight Aldo and Dominic Cruz, and I think he was going to try to find Sean Sherk somewhere and fight him. Like anybody who was well removed from that picture, he was interested in fighting. So I would be surprised if he fought anybody off of a win. He's probably going to try to fight Aldo. Even if Aldo loses, he'll come back and try to fight him.
Cejudo, BJ Penn.
There you go.
That wouldn't shock me either. Nothing would surprise me at this point.
Alex,
in all caps.
You want to rank those?
Oh, sorry. Oh, Alex.
Oh, I'm going to let Alex. Alex hasn't answered this. I've answered this a million times. Yeah. But
okay, I'm going to go Jones, Cejudo, Diaz, Masvidal, because I can't go back on what I just said. So
I actually think Masvidal is going to fight first because he was the only – he doesn't have a belt like Jones. Cejudo's retired, and Nate has already gone like years without fighting. So the track record's there. So I put Masvidal fights first. But
if he doesn't,
again, that's
if he
not
doesn't have a belt, what did I just order a replica version of at UFC.com? yeah. Apologize.
Oh, he also has a BMF belt, I guess. One of one. So yeah.
What does BMF stand for? I have no idea.
Brunch Mondays through Friday.
Nice.
Jose Dominguez, in your opinion,
this is in all caps, so please read it.
In your opinion, do fighters deserve more than 18% from Jose Dominguez in the comments? And he has four question marks. Sean, agreement?
Duh.
Yeah. Yeah, of course they do. That's a pretty simple question for me. Yes, they do.
Yeah. Gonna shock the world and say no.
Yeah, no, 18%. That's a little high. No, of course they deserve more. I don't know how the breakdowns happen, but I know that the fighters deserve to be paid way more than what they're paying. At some point, it just kind of feels disgusting when you watch somebody's head slam against the canvas for $5,000. So,
yeah, I feel real gross sometimes. Casey,
is there any way I could say no and try to justify this? Like, no, because when I watch a UFC, I don't care who's in the cage punching each other. I just like the fact that the cage has eight sides.
Oh. And one times eight equals eight, so you like the math right there?
Math.
So 81%, that's what they deserve, to keep the math in check. John Jones' first loss will be to blank. Ooh, Casey, I'll start with you.
Well, you already lost to Dominic Reyes.
I was just going to say.
Oh. But John Jones' first loss will be to he already lost to Matt Hamill.
That's hilarious.
First loss, man. His first loss will be to Francis Ngannou.
That's what I was going to say. Sean?
I'm going to say Ngannou as well.
Alex?
If he fights Dominic Reyes again, then I think it will be Reyes.
I'm going to agree with, it's Reyes or Ngannou. I think that's the answer. I'd still favor John the rematch with Reyes, but I think fighting Ngannou is bad for your health. So I'm going to say Ngannou. Spike Carlisle, that is the crazy man with the red hair and all the abs that Billy Quarantillo lost to. One that turned his back in the middle of the fight.
He's a 55er, right?
I don't know off the top of my head.
Yeah, 55 or 45.
I would imagine.
Yeah. Hey, guys, we're over an hour.
All right. So that is a wrap for this episode.
Wait. One more.
Who's next for Wiley, and what are the thoughts? What are their chances against the champ? Who's next?
Rose Andrade winner?
Yeah, I guess. Right?
Unless Tatiana just magically heals and they give her the title shot, which I know Alex, I was just giving you a soft because I know Alex always wants to talk about Tatiana Suarez.
I know, I miss her so much. I wish her a very speedy recovery.
I just feel like Tatiana, she just always loses that momentum. She always, she has to, you know, just come back against somebody. Who's next?
I don't know. That's a good question.
It seems like Rose Andrade winner. I mean, that's what I feel like.
Yeah,
it is, but I feel like she just destroyed Andrade. So, like, would you want to rematch that?
No, yeah, I would want to rematch that. I mean, it was overseas, and, you know, like, we've heard this lots of times from fighters, like, or, I mean, what do you think? Like, someone getting, you know, knocked out in, I think she lost in, like, 30 seconds. Is that a worse loss than losing a 15-minute decision?
What's up with Tatiana Suarez these days? Is she?
Yeah, we were just talking, her neck, so after she beat Nina Ansaroff in Chicago of 1 year ago, I'm sure you remember that fight. It was very uncharacteristically dominant. Like, she was not as dominant as before. I know Alex doesn't like me calling her this, but a lot of people compared her to a female Habib with just her dominant wrestling. She didn't do any of that. And we asked her about that. And she hurt her neck so bad that she couldn't shoot for blast double takedowns. Ooh. Like, it was so – and you can't mess around with your neck. I think she's trying to recover there, because if not, I would imagine she would have already fought for the title right off of that win. So if she's not ready to go, and Alex Kaylee wants to let us know it's Whaley, not Wiley. So apologies. Nina's on the shelf because she's giving birth to her and Amanda Nunes. Claudia is coming off that quote unquote win over Angela Hill. Carla Esparza has a fight coming up, doesn't she? And then Yang Zhao Nong is sitting at 10. Marina Rodriguez is at 9. So yeah, you're probably right, Casey. Winner of Rose versus Andrade. I think that's the fight.
Let's talk about the bullshit ranking, because everyone had Angela Hill beating Claudia, yet when they did the rankings, they still put Angela Hill behind Claudia, which is the stupidest thing. If you thought the person won and the rankings are completely subjective, what you think. So why? It's like, everything sucks.
How many people they have on that panel now? Like 4?
Like, Amanda Ribas has a fight against Paige VanZant coming up too. Like, that's another big fight in that division. I know Paige, it's the last fight of Paige's contract, so if she's off to greener pastures, that's another loss. And Alexa Grasso is no longer fighting a straw weight. I want to see her fight Marina Rodriguez, because that fight is going to be super violent, but Marina's not ready for that. So yeah, you're right, Casey. Andrade's Rose winner.
Simple.
All
right,
last question. Make this a good one.
Who's the most flexible on the A side chat now? Sean, if you weren't aware, my old co-host Pizza Carroll is the most flexible media member in all of sports. He can put his feet behind his head. Yes, he can. All our listeners have heard this story a million times, but in the middle of UFC 246 media day, we were waiting in line to interview Anthony Pettis, and Pizza goes. Decides that was the appropriate time to let me know that he could put his feet behind his head, and did it in the middle of maybe about 100 reporters. And we all were just he was on the ground going, look at this. And he just put his feet behind his head. So in terms of who's the most flexible, I am the most inflexible. So I would assume it's Casey. For those of you,
I used to be pretty flexible. I could, like, still occasionally when I go to the gym and there's somebody that's in there the first time, I'll pull off like something stupid from Rubber Guard or a Gogo Plata or something. And that's about the extent of it these days. So I don't think I'm up there with this panel.
I got you. You're pretty flexible, right?
I need a good stretch, though. I'm not one of those like just instantly out of bed flexible. So yeah, it's like I'm an old man type flexible. But yeah.
Alex?
I used to be flexible, like Sean, but I started, you know, lifting weights, and I wasn't focused on full mobility, and I lost a lot of range of motion. So,
all three of you are more flexible than me. Inflexible.
What do you bench, Savas? What do you bench?
I actually don't bench because I've got a bad elbow from years of tennis. So,
you actually have a tennis elbow. Wow.
I actually have a tennis elbow.
You're that person. All right.
But is that a wrap? A wrap on the A side? So, Sean, I'll tell you the story with Brian Keller real quick. We have a fan who is a big fan, Jessica, as you saw, who is very much into crystals, and we've kind of adopted the crystal method, specifically from Jared Cannonier's years of talking about crystals. Brian Keller is also into crystals, and Jessica gave us a crystal to give to Brian Keller before his fight at UFC 246. After he weighed in, we gave him a tiger's eye crystal, which supposedly magnifies and increases a monetary wealth and like good fortune. 1 hour later, he gets bumped up to the main event of a Conor McGregor card and wins the post-fight bonus. So I'm not saying it wasn't the crystal, but it was 100% the Tiger's Eye crystal. So if you want, if you're in the business for crystals, Jessica, I know you're watching this. Send Son some crystals.
I mean, I'm just saying, like, I was like, okay, what are they talking about crystals? Like, and I Googled it, and I don't know if the same second thing comes up for you guys as me, but it ain't wonderful. And
amethyst, did you Google Crystal Crew?
I just Googled crystals, just crystals. Like, okay, is that slang for something? I get the feeling you all aren't pushing crystal meth on this show.
No.
But I looked, and the second thing that came up on my Google under sea crystals is an amethyst polished crystal phallus.
Oh. Nope, definitely not what we were talking about.
Yeah, I would hope not.
That's what I was talking about. What are you
don't
talking?
Send oh, me yeah. those whatsoever. Do not send those to me.
You know as well as I do.
20 arc crystal bundle worth $16,000. I do welcome this gift.
Well, you know as well as me, when you start telling our audiences not to send you something, they're going to send it to you.
Wonderful.
Well, Jessica Crystal Crew right there, he says, boom. So if you get a bag of crystals in the mail, that's Jessica right there. Or she hits you up for crystals. But anyway, that is the end of this episode of this special Friday edition of the A-Side. I was so happy to finally have Sean on the show. And of course, Sean, as the guest of honor, the floor is yours to plug whatever you want to say.
Thank you guys so much for having me. Fightful.com. We cover pro wrestling, MMA, and boxing. We specialize in pro wrestling. We've been breaking probably more news than any other wrestling website out there right now. We have a great podcast network. And if you want to support what we do, FightfulSelect.com is our premium service. Right now it's Patreon-based. It will be moving on-site very soon. But go over there to get some reputable news in a wrestling business that isn't always so reputable. There's some wild stuff that's going on right now, but we're doing our best to bring you all accurate news. So give it a go.
You guys have a big group of writers on your site, like freelance writers and stuff?
Fairly. We had stepped away from freelance for a while, but we've actually been doing pretty well lately, and we have a few more joining. We actually had three new faces join our site this week. But yeah, we got a pretty expanded roster, so to speak, of full-time people, and I'm trying to integrate more freelancers into that as well. But so on the podcast side, we have tons of freelancers.
So for all of the people that always message me asking, where can I go to learn writing and stuff like that? Just ask Sean. He knows.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Just ask me. That's what I live Sean. To do.
There you go. I'm sure you get those emails. You probably get more than me about what people want to write about professional wrestling.
I get it a lot. But my advice is just create content. Even if you don't have an outlet, create an outlet. That way you have something. Do reviews, do columns, do live results. Do podcasts, whether it be audio and video, do video editing, step out and try to do some photography. The more versatile you are, the more likely you are to get hired, because if you can excel or even be decent at a lot of things, you'll be trusted with those roles and have a lot more opportunities.
Well said. That is a much better way of phrasing what I was trying to say. Alex, anything you want to say before we sign off? I know you hate doing these, but I gave you a chance to listen to Sean and prepare this time.
If any of our listeners out there work at a car dealership, I'm looking for a great deal. Southern California, hit me up.
There you go. That's the what. Use your platform for real life things. Casey, anything you want to add, or you want to answer Alex's question?
I'm not. I don't know shit about cars. I turn the car on. If it doesn't start, I have to buy a new one. That's all I know.
There you go. Well, anyway, that's it for this episode of the A-Side. I'm sure we're going to have a preview show. I know Mike has a special guest. Do we know who that is yet, Casey?
It will be Lionheart, Anthony Smith.
And there you go. Ooh. So stick around. Supposedly he has a fight coming up. Maybe he'll talk about it. But Anthony Smith and Mike Hacker can do an awesome preview show for UFC on ESPN 11. The entire crew will be back tomorrow for the fights. I'm sure we'll do a post-fight show via the same format that we've been doing, except I just won't be there on site. Then, of course, stick around for all of our post-fight stuff and pre-fight stuff tomorrow and into next week. But for Jose, that's Alex, that's Casey. Thank you so much, Sean. I'm sure you'll be back on, and maybe even you'll get on Between the Links, Mike Hex Around the Horn type show, and you can lose to me, the undefeated champion. So undefeated and undisputed. Let's not forget that. But we'll see you next Wednesday.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.